Welcome back, everybody, to Going for Two, the official podcast of the Extra Points newsletter. I am your intrepid host, the author of said newsletter, Matt Brown. I'm joined here by my friend and co-host, Brian Fisher. And friends, the weather's starting to warm up a little bit. It's mid-May, and back in our regular lives, our old careers, this is the time of year when you go on vacation, when you turn your phone off a little bit, because the NFL draft is over. There's not a major sporting event in the college space for a couple more weeks. The recruiting calendar's slowed down for a little bit. This is supposed to be the off season, right? Are you ready? Are you ready for a nap, Brian?
Definitely ready for a nap. I was just about to say my brain has been fried these last couple of days, and it's wild to think that, yes, this is normally a time where things are supposed to slow down, but it seems like the news just never stops. And maybe that's just kind of being on Twitter and being on this kind of 24-hour news cycle that seems to always pop up. But I am ready for a nap, or at least a break, or something in the world of college athletics to hit pause and just, you know, give us a week. You know, give me a week.
Well, first of all, your first mistake. It's the same mistake I make. So we're on Twitter. We should. True. The only person who should be on Twitter is apparently my 6-year-old daughter, who occasionally will hijack my computer to remind people to be nice to each other. Everyone else is using the platform incorrectly. But yeah, so if you are an athletic director, a conference commissioner, an athlete, anybody else who's listening to this podcast, let's just be cool for a week. All right. Because despite our best efforts, things are still happening. I think especially in our post-COVID world, where there's a lot more administrative stuff happening that needs to be sussed out. And also because this is the most that college athletics have been in the news on the state house level, really, in the last decade, if not beyond that. And that's kind of what I want to talk maybe briefly a little bit about today, because there's been a lot of developments over the last 7 days or so on the name, image, and likeness front. And I want to start by talking about Georgia, right? So we have a handful of states, mostly in the Southeast right now, with the exception of New Mexico, that have signed name, image, and likeness laws that are going to go into effect this summer. Those states are chasing Florida. It is certainly perceived within the industry, I think correctly, that having some kind of state level regulation right now that allows athletes to take advantage of this would be a recruiting advantage. And nowhere, I think, has that been more explicitly made than in Georgia, where you had, correct me if I'm wrong here, Brian, the then governor signing the law at Sanford Stadium, I think explicitly stating, "I'm doing this because I think it will help the Dogs win a title. I'm doing this because I think it will help 5 stars come to Athens, Georgia." Is that, am I remembering that correctly?
I believe that is almost word for word what his quote was that he was going to help Kirby Smart, you know, bring a national title back to the Peach State. And listen, I think it's going to be interesting because we're going to see pretty much uniformity across the SEC in particular. That's going to be the first conference where we're going to have pretty much every state have an NIL law on the books probably before the season starts. So I think that is something to kind of keep in mind, and something I know the conference office is going to have to deal with, and as well, yeah, as others like the Sun Belt and maybe even the AAC in terms of the number of people that it's going to impact. Just it is wild to think how accelerated this timeline is, because normally bills do not become laws as quickly as they have been. But when recruiting in the Deep South is impacted, it's amazing how quickly government can get on its feet and get something done.
To help the Dogs. I mean, imagine how you must feel if you're Georgia Tech right now. Like, what a gigantic middle finger to you and your program and any of your grads working in state politics right now to have the governor be so explicitly partisan about this. But hey, I mean, the Dogs play. Like, that's all politics is local. And what makes more sense than to play to the hometown fans? You're right. Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida have all enacted laws. Louisiana, Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, and Texas have all at least proposed them. I think those are all pretty well on their way towards becoming a law, with the exception of Missouri. Almost every state outside of the Midwest and like Utah and Idaho have at least started this process. But that, okay, we could kind of expect that, right? There's a lot of political pressure to keep up with Alabama and Florida. What was interesting about this Georgia law was not just how nakedly partisan it was, like not Democrat, Republican, but like got to help the dogs, but that there was a paragraph in this bill that, to the best of my knowledge, has not appeared in any other name, image, and likeness law that's been signed or even, like, I think, credibly proposed at this point. Brian, do you remember what that particular weird wrinkle was in this law?
Well, in this case, which really kind of caught everybody's eye, which, you know, is shocking that it kind of came so late in the process, but essentially what the bill allowed for schools to do was take 75% of the NIL money that students were going to receive as part of this new law for their name, image, and likeness. They would allow them to put it into an escrow account and essentially distribute that to the rest of the athletes who were not part of that deal after they graduate. And so I think that's where everybody was like, hey, wait a minute. Time out. What is going on here? Number one, how did this pop up? And number two, really, this kind of defeats the whole purpose of the name, image, and likeness. It's about your name, image, and likeness. But this was a way, I think, for some creative people that were part of this bill and the process that created it to kind of redistribute some of this wealth as well that maybe the star players were getting, but, you know, the backup left tackle was not kind of purview of. And so I think this is one that definitely got everybody talking about as far as who's actually going to take advantage of this and why was it put in there in the first place?
Why was it put in there in the first place is what's fascinating to me, because I went up and looked up the House bill, and I think almost all of the co-sponsors are not just Republicans in the Georgia State House, but very conservative Republicans. And it's been a minute since my political science coursework. I did a long time ago. That's what I actually got my degree in. But this does seem like some pretty dramatic wealth redistribution plans. That's typically not what a more conservative person would believe in. I actually emailed them all and said, hey, listen, like, I'm not here to talk on you. I'm just literally trying to understand why this was put in here, who asked for it, like, you know, how can you walk me through the thought process? Big surprise. No one's responded to me yet. If you're a Georgia lawmaker and you're listening to this, my email is matt@extrapointsmb.com. But we also reached out to the actual FBS institutions in Georgia, because like almost immediately after this bill was signed, UGA's athletic personnel came out there and said, whoa, 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 we're not doing this. If you come to Georgia, you're going to get to keep all your money. Georgia Tech said the same thing. Georgia Southern said the same thing. This morning, I reached out to Georgia State. They told me the same thing. And I've also sent emails to Kennesaw and Mercer, the two SCS programs. And I would be pretty surprised if either of them said, no, we're planning on pooling this, which then begs the question, if nobody at the FBS level wants it, and I know that there are FBS, there's Division I institutions in Georgia that don't have football. I just can't recall them off the top of my head. Unless one of them asked for it, who is this for? I can't even... come up with a potential reason that passes the sniff test other than somebody like a copy and paste error or some legislative aide just made a type, like a weird typo. I legitimately don't know.
Well, I think there's two things. I think number one, this really does expose how the lack of leadership at both the school level and the NCAA level has affected this entire process. Because, you know, if there had been somebody out there, whether it's from the University of Georgia, Georgia Tech, whoever, working with Slaters, who they typically do. I mean, they get billions of dollars from the states for research and other, yeah, you know, aspects.
And in other states, the ADs and coaches have been involved in advocating and shaping the New Mexico. New Mexico State's AD was like testified, right? I think New Mexico's football coach testified. They've been involved, I want to say, at Iowa and in Kansas. Like, it's not happening in a vacuum. Sorry.
It's not. And I think, you know, it just obviously didn't happen in this case with Georgia, and I think that kind of points back, which is curious because, you know, Jerry Moorhead, the University of Georgia president, he's on the board of directors. So he's fairly involved in NCAA matters and what's going on, both from a larger perspective and on the ground. And, I think it does kind of point to the lack of leadership, just how quickly these state legislatures are trying to get these bills passed, because they do view it as a recruiting issue between their schools and the rest of the schools in their conference. I think there's that. And then I think you can also point back to it's not just the star players that are benefiting from this legislation. And, you know, they want to kind of spread that wealth around. I think that is the key topic here. And I think I do think there are certain issues, you know, if you want to get political and look back in terms of the, you know, where this is coming from, I think you can probably do that. But I think at the end of the day, a lot of these state lawmakers, you know, that they simply wanted a bit of an escape hatch to where some athletes who, frankly, were not going to get paid for their name, image, and likeness could at least get their hands in the pot. And maybe they thought that at the end of the day, that would help every other sport recruit athletes as well, saying, hey, you know, you might not get that $5,000 check, but you're going to get something at the end of the day. Maybe that was kind of the thinking, but I do think there's some other factors at play that, you know, they really weren't considering when they put this in there.
I'm going to be honest, between this and what happened at Florida, and I've actually, because I'm a broken person, have watched some of the debate around some of these bills and a couple of state houses, because I've tried to track this issue pretty closely. And one major takeaway that I've had from this entire name, image, and likeness and college athletic reform conversation is these lawmakers are not well informed with how college sports works and how this particular issue works. And that has not stopped them from proposing some pretty sweeping legislation, in part because I think they're facing some pressure from a couple of donors or from schools that this is going to help the football team. And my takeaway, and I'm sure there's some libertarians listening going, yes, yes, right? Like that if you've got these lawmakers, a lot of whom are part-time, that are making laws about something they don't really understand about college sports, which is something that you and I understand very well. Well, imagine what they're doing for stuff that's actually important that they may now, like this. I have not come away thinking that everyone in Georgia, the Florida House, and this is, you know, this is not a Democrat Republican thing, buddy. I live in Chicago. I know a thing or two about bad local politicians from all stripes. I don't think we're sending our best and brightest to investigate this issue, and that is important, given that, just like you had said, Brian, the authority here has mostly been delegated from the schools. The people that actually know this issue the most are now no longer the people who are most in charge of shaping that policy. And we've seen that in Georgia, and we saw that in Florida a week or two ago when basically one House member got some bad advice and threw in a clause in an unrelated bill at the last minute to potentially postpone name, image, and likeness until 2022, igniting some kind of fire. And God knows what's going to be in some of these other bills, because they were sports writers, apparently. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think this pops up, this issue of kind of dipping your toes in college athletics and not knowing all the details. It pops up pretty much any time the government gets involved in pretty much anything. I mean, you look at going back to the Supreme Court case, the Board of Regents versus Oklahoma, you know, that whole case, when you listen to some of the questioning, it's like they had never watched a football game, some of the Supreme Court justices. I actually was a little surprised.
Yeah, and they had a former football player on the Supreme Court then, and not just a former football player, an extremely good and very famous football player compared to people who have never watched sport.
And I mean, congressional hearings, another perfect example. Whenever, certain NCAA leaders go up in front of Congress, and we're going to see, I think, a lot more of it. I know Mark Emmert is going to go to the Hill at some point in the near future, in the next couple of weeks. It's almost like a huge tell in terms of you can see who is an actual sports fan. Maybe somebody like Senator Cory Booker, who is a former Stanford football player. And, you know, they do speak with a little bit of acknowledgement in terms of what these core issues are, but they also don't know all of the details because they are so far removed from it. And I think that is where, again, Mark Emmert and the NCAA's lack of leadership on this topic is so glaring to me. They just have not shepherded this process like they should. And they've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on lobbyists and tried to get in, but they have really not done anything, especially at the state level. And I think that's where, both from a university perspective, this has really kind of failed the system, and from the NCAA perspective as well, that they have just not gotten the right messaging out there. They have not gotten on the same page. And that's why we're seeing so many different attempts to address this issue. And there hasn't been really a lack of both national and local leadership to get these bills through and really address the heart of the issue.
Yeah, I don't want to insinuate here that I think that you need to have a Tiger Droppings account in order to be an effective lawmaker. In fact, as somebody who's had to read Tiger Droppings before for work, I might even say that might be a disqualifying event, right? A lot of people on college football message boards, I wouldn't necessarily want to making healthcare policy. But there is an element, the way that it's been described to me, I guess, would be like this. It's not so much that a lot of lawmakers, both state and federal, are ignorant about how college athletics works and how higher education works. It's also that they're not that interested in it. And on one hand, I think that's very defensible, because as important as I think these issues are, and chances are you think they're important too, listener, that's why you're 20 minutes deep into a podcast about name, image, and likeness in May. I think we can all agree that no matter what level of government we're talking about, there's probably more important things that they should be focusing on. If, you know, my state and potentially considering this legislation, wonderful. I think ultimately that would help athletes, but was that in the top 10 biggest issues in Illinois right now? I don't know. Probably not. And then you're working on housing policy and COVID relief and healthcare and budgets. You're not dedicating the time to really understand this. And so that what tends to happen is then you have a handful of lawmakers who drive the bus. And in Congress, there's like five or six senators who really care about this. And the way it's been explained to me is that a lot of people are mostly ambivalent. And then you have like Tuberville, who's really just kind of doesn't care cares to slow this kind of stuff down, I guess. I think that's kind of what we're looking at here. And if the person who's super interested doesn't do a good job, then you end up with some potential issues. And this can be resolved if there's a federal bill that supersedes everything, and it will be helped if there's a universal NCAA policy. And I guess looking at the past couple of days, the idea that there might be some movement on the NCAA front seems to have gained at least a little bit of traction, unless I'm misreading the Mark Emmert's recent comments to the New York Times.
Well, I think it's interesting that he did have to go to the New York Times instead of talking directly to membership or directly to the D1 Council.
But Mark, you got my email, baby. You could just drop me a line too.
But, listen, the NCAA name, image, and likeness proposals have been sitting out there since January. They were set to be voted on in January.
It's not news.
Yes. The reason why it's on the back burner really is anybody's guess, because, yes, the Department of Justice sent, a letter out there. I do think there are significant legal concerns from the NCAA not only passing their initial set of laws, which kind of opens them up to some potential legal issues. Obviously, we talk about all these different state laws. Well, you know what? If the NCAA wants to successfully challenge those in court and get that process started in terms of, yes, we do need a national standard, well, you're going to have to, kind of fall back on a lot of those commerce clauses and challenge them legally in court. And so while it's good that, the Georgia's law is over here doing something different than, say, the Florida law, that actually might help the NCAA's case in this when they go to get an injunction to stop this. But at the same time, it also opens themselves up, to a potential lawsuit if they end up passing their name, image, and likeness bylaws like they were supposed to do in January. If they end up passing them, somebody ends up suing, they could get, stuck in court for that. And so it's a thorny issue. I think at the end of the day, they will end up passing something either in June or July, and we'll kind of go from there. But I think the great unknown is really what is frustrating all these administrators you talk to the coaches. At some point, there's going to be something that's going to happen in the late summer, and nobody really knows how they're going to have to react to it. They're doing their best to subcontract out some things with different companies and provide options for their student athletes to if things open up. But at the end of the day, you don't know how all this is going to kind of work. It's just a crazy jigsaw puzzle. And I think that is really where the frustration is setting in on behalf of a lot of these schools, is that they're trying to do their best to prepare, but they don't know what's coming at them.
You touched on something that has been an overarching theme of almost every conversation I've had with anybody about this over the last couple of months, including some I had like literally this morning, is there's so much frustration over that uncertainty. Like, imagine right now that you are preparing to your high school senior and trying to figure out what college you want to go to, right? Well, if you go now in the most places in the Southeast and New Mexico, you will be able to, according to the law right now, take advantage of your name, image, and likeness rights once you step on campus. You can infer that's likely at most other places, but you don't know that for certain. And you also don't really know for certain what's going to happen after July, if the NCAA is going to sue, if there's going to be, if lawmakers are going to change things. And so if your name, image, and likeness rights are your top two most important variables, you can't really make a college decision right now because everything, not everything, but a lot of things could change in the next 6 months. I was talking with a small company that's trying to get involved in this space on that to help broker deals with athletes, and athletes have indicated they're interested, and it's a marketplace that matches athletes with potential local deals. It's not so much the Trevor Lawrences, but the space we've talked about a lot, softball players, cross country runners, and their service charges athletes or agents a flat fee and then doesn't charge the brands. Some marketplaces work the other way around. So like, all right, that's interesting. Can the school pay for that? Can the school buy a membership for everybody? Well, we don't know. We don't know if that's allowed yet. Okay. Well, what kind of industries are allowed to advertise in this marketplace? Well, we don't know. Like that hasn't been determined yet. How do you ensure that you're being compliant, not just with the NCAA, but with like state or the national laws or the FTC? We don't know. We're trying to build a plane, and we have a vague idea what the plane looks like, because a lot of these companies do these deals with pros. Like we have a general idea of what this marketplace looks like if you're trying to sign a sponsorship deal for somebody in the NWSL or the NHL, but nobody knows. And that leads to paralysis from brands. That leads to paralysis from these third-party vendors. It's paralysis from the schools, paralysis for the athletes. And my concern is the longer that goes and the more market confusion there is for all actors, that's going to make it a lot easier for somebody who has maybe less than righteous intentions to move in. When there's a lot of confusion and no one really knows what the rules are going to be, some people are going to try to, there's going to be some scammers and hustlers. And we kind of know here at the end of the day, it's generally not the multi-million dollar land grant university that gets stuck holding the bag. It's probably going to be the person with the least amount of power, which is an athlete.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was Sports Illustrated who said there's, nearly 150 of these kind of firms that are popped up to kind of deal with name, image, and likeness. And
that feels almost low. I feel like I get an email from one of them once a week. But yeah. My eligibility is passed. I'm fat. I'm not the guy you want to sign.
Yeah. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going down that road with you, Matt, but listen, no. I mean, it's just such a thorny issue because, are you able to kind of give financial advice as well in terms of which deal is best, or is that not allowed, or is it allowed? And I mean, you also got to keep in mind, look at some of the other sports involved in name, image, and likeness that could really benefit. We've talked quite a bit on this program about women's sports. Well, if you're in a women's sport and maybe an equivalency, if you're getting maybe 10, 15, 20 grand, how is that going to affect your financial aid? Is it going to impact whether you can get a full scholarship or certain issues out there? Maybe it bumps your family's tax bracket up to where you're no longer qualifying for certain national financial aid. I mean, there's a lot of issues at stake, and I don't think anybody really kind of has their head around everything. And you know, that is a perfect analogy that you just mentioned in terms of, trying to build the plane while we're flying it. And it does seem like we're losing parts here. We're trying to add landing gear here and there, and it's just all a mess. And I think everybody's frustration with it is certainly reaching a boiling point because we have been talking about it for so long. We've been talking about this for 3 years now.
Yeah.
And really, we're not any closer to what is actually going to look like from a day-to-day perspective for the student athletes, for the coaches, for the administrators, for the people on the other side of the fence that really do want to not only help these athletes, but pay them $5,000 or $10,000 for a tweet or an Instagram post, or getting them in a car dealership commercial. We're no closer to really understanding how it's all going to fit together, and I think that again is the frustration that I think a lot of administrators, especially, are starting to vent right now, and that leads to more and more pushback against what's happening in the national office with what Mark Emmert is trying to do.
Yeah, and to kind of put a bow on this, there's a reason that Brian and I keep talking about it. There's a reason that I probably write about name, image, and likeness on some level. It feels like almost every other week on Extra Points. And it's not because we we're in the pocket of big brand, right? Like I don't think that my target audience or is going to be crying at night because they're concerned about the bars in Tuscaloosa losing out on potential marketing opportunities. Like, I mean, that sucks. It's a bummer for them. Like I want them to be successful like other businesses, but we talk about this a lot because I honest to God think that this matters for everybody who cares about every level of college sports. It matters because if we do head into the latter part of this summer without a national framework at least voted on, it's going to be a big deal in recruiting for on multiple sports. And that is the thing that NCAA administrators and conference commissioners and ADs really do not want. They don't want a bidding war in name, image, likeness legislation between Louisiana and Missouri and Alabama. And if you pass some kind of national framework, it's okay if the state laws differ a little bit. Minimum wage differs a little bit. Financial reporting laws differ a little bit, and it's okay. They don't want that chaos. And that's a bigger possibility now, I think, than it was 5 or 6 months ago. I also care about this because I care about the livelihood and the happiness of college athletes, particularly those that don't have a potential big payday coming down the line. And we don't know yet how their ability to secure that bag and what that looks like. And there's this whole gigantic cottage industry here that's sort of waiting in the wings. And I guess maybe against all odds, stupidly optimistic that there's going to be some NCAA level resolution before September 1st. I am not optimistic there's going to be a federal law passed and voted on before the start of football season. I think that might happen this year, but what I'm hearing right now, it's looking like the winter rather than anything in the near future, which is what the NCAA wanted, so they wouldn't have to deal with this.
I mean, I would be shocked if even in 2021, calendar year 2021, we have something passed at the federal level. I think we're at that point where you certainly look at it's infrastructure week, Matt. So, you know, I mean, there's some big bills out there that you know, Congress is trying to focus on, right?
Bag men are infrastructure. My boy, Scott Hines, Action Cookbook, actually wrote about this on his newsletter. I want to throw in a link when I write about this as like his bold infrastructure plan is like a national board to help bribe college athletes. And that could be the West Virginia pork that ties this country together. I'm kidding. I'm a teensy bit not kidding.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, if it can get Joe Manchin on board for some of these bills so we can get things going, hey,
there we go, man.
Maybe that's the secret, Joe.
Get Marshall into the Big 12.
Yes. I mean, it's just, you know, the thing about everything is I think federally, yes, that would be the great hope of everybody is there's a federal law. We it's very clear. It's spelled out. Everybody understands. Here's the rules of the game. But whether we're going to get that in time, I think I seriously doubt it. I just, the way Congress operated on pretty much every issue known to man leads me to doubt that. I think even, you know, Anthony Gonzalez, who has kind of put forward his own version of an NIL bill in the House, and it's working its way through that process. A couple weeks ago, to Peter King said essentially that he sees it more happening certainly late in the winter and potentially getting passed in 2022. The NCAA cannot wait around for that long. I do think that does put kind of the pressure on Mark Emmert as much as they want that antitrust exemption, as much as they want that federal legislation. They're going to have to come up with a plan B in terms of how to deal with these states. And number one, what are they, and really even setting aside what legal challenges they might have to do with states, what are they going to do internally to push this forward? Because there's going to have to be some sort of solution, because it's fascinating. We're like 6 weeks away from that Florida law really coming up. And I there's just so much unknown. And whether it's the third party administrator, whether it's just kind of boots on the ground, what are you going to have to do reporting wise with all a lot of these deals, nobody wants an uneven playing field, and this is kind of the biggest one of them all that I think everybody is going to have to deal with over the next couple of weeks.
I want to talk a little bit about what that plan B might look like and a little bit of stuff here on the federal level. But before I do, since we're talking about money, let me quickly talk to you a little bit about some of our sponsors. Listen, I'm going to be honest with all of you. If I was really good at understanding financial markets or investment advice, I would be doing that. I would not be in digital media, which is a very rewarding career that I love and I think I'm pretty good at. It's not a career for somebody who actually understands money. So that means I'm looking for other information to help me understand some of those markets. And one of the newsletters that I've been reading lately is The Average Joe. My friends over there, they write a newsletter that publishes 3 times a week. It's read by over 15,000 investors that helps you understand market opportunities and how to improve your financial health in language that somebody like me, an idiot, who has a political science degree and got like a C+ GPA can understand. And if I can do it, I'm pretty sure you can understand it too. You could save thousands of hours of research, understand emerging trends, upcoming IPOs, where you can actually put your money in something that's probably a little bit safer than investing in a cryptocurrency backed by SNL hosts. You can subscribe to The Joe yourself at readthejoe.com. This podcast is also a product of the Extra Points newsletter. That newsletter just rebranded. It's on Ghost now. You have this beautiful new series of landing pages. It's got this great big directory of open records that I filed, so anybody can go look at things like shoe deals, itemized budget reports, coaching contracts, all sorts of general background financial data that you need to be able to understand college athletics and understand specific goal schools a little bit better. That's all available to you. And it's a newsletter that publishes 4 times a week. Shares this podcast. You have original reporting and unique analysis about everything, that all the behind the scenes stuff that makes college athletics what it is. Already, just this week, I published a story today from some emails I uncovered through open records requests that explains how EA Sports determines how much money they're going to pay to somebody for their licensing to be in the video game, and how San Diego State doesn't like that idea and doesn't think they're getting enough money because they feel like their football program is being shortchanged. Honestly, they might have a point. I've also wrote this week about some of the surprising decisions at UC Riverside to continue Division I athletics, and at the University of Hartford to not continue Division I athletics, what we can take away from that and what it means for other schools. You can grab all of this and subscribe for free, or you could subscribe as a paid subscriber, which helps continue this podcast and keeps me employed and gets you 4 newsletters a week and access to our special subscriber Discord. If you're not already a paid subscriber and you've listened this far into this ad, when you go to check out, use promo code podcast, not Gopher2, podcast, all one word. That gives you 20% off a paid subscription. That means you can get every Extra Points newsletter for under $6.50 a month. I can think of a lot of things you could spend $6.50 on. This is a pretty good deal for that, I think. So that's www.extrapointsmb.com, promo code podcast. Brian, as I understand it right now, you've still got a variety of various Senate bills, and none of them are bipartisan. You have a handful of Republicans that have expressed interest in supporting name, image, and likeness, and have expressed interest in college athletics reform. What they want to do and what someone like Senator Murphy and Booker want to do are not super aligned on a couple of big things. And in the House, you actually do have a bipartisan bill, but might not be progressive enough on either front or expansive enough on either front to gain passage for anything. And that's kind of been about it. I mean, what I've been hearing from folks who work in the Hill right now is that this just isn't a major priority. And they get why sports writers are asking about it, and they have constituents that are asking about it, but you're right. It is infrastructure week, and there's tax policy to go change, and there's foreign policy, and nobody is likely to vote out a congressman because of name, image, and likeness. Does that jive with what you've been hearing and reading?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a winnable issue to say, hey, look, you can get the support of fans in your district or in your state because they're sports fans and they love their dogs, or they love their Bulldogs, or they love their Gators, or whoever it might be. But at the end of the day, I don't think anybody's like rushing to say, yes, I'm going to support that guy at the next midterms because he got my dogs an extra 4 or 5 star recruit. Maybe some are going to vote that way, but I don't see the amount where it does move the needle. And I think that's kind of the key issue here is there's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot going on in the United States right now to where this is not a pressing issue, except for the people at the NCAA headquarters and certainly at these NCAA member institutions, because of the when that start date happens, it's coming. And I think that's the key for everybody is to how do we get moving along on this? And so whether it's in the next couple of weeks, I know there's a D1 council meeting on May 19th. I would imagine yep. There's going to be some, I know there's going to be some progress on this issue coming out of that meeting. So I think there's going to be some movement, but whether it's enough to, like you said, move the needle, I think that is the key question is where do we kind of go from here?
So let me ask you this. It's July 2nd, Florida, New Mexico, Georgia, Mississippi. The bill went into effect yesterday. What happened? Do we have we voted on an NCAA central policy for the other states? Has the Earth ceased to spin across its axis? What do you think has happens on July 2nd?
I think ultimately the process, we're going to get the third party administrator issue figured out over the next 3 to 4 weeks. I think that's in the immediate term, that's what's going to happen. Then we're going to see the NCAA legal strategies start to play out. I think coming probably before that date that you just mentioned, they're going to have to get some sort of injunction. Maybe they do change course and allow these laws to take place and just say everybody can deal with it and kind of take a laissez-faire approach to things. But I doubt that's going to happen. I think ultimately we're going to see some legal action, whether it's against the NCAA or whether the NCAA is the one that's taking it out. Something is going to budge on that front over the next five to 6 weeks. And then there,
we'll see what people say about level playing fields. But yeah, I can imagine the frustration over different rules.
And then I would imagine either the Board of Governors or the D1 Council, and then as approved by the Board of Governors, will put the NIL proposals that we saw back in January with a few tweaks here or there that they've hopefully have made to address some of the antitrust issues that the Justice Department raised. I would imagine that's going to get passed, certainly in the July timeframe. Maybe it's not in time for July 2nd. Maybe it's maybe it does end up happening in June. But kind of like what we were saying about Congress and what's happening in Washington, the NCAA moves very slowly on these issues. So I don't think this is going to be a process that's sped up. I think everybody's still going to take their time. Those meetings are certainly on the books. And sometimes there's two or three weeks between meetings, and sometimes you just can't get to it. And so I think ultimately we're going to have that date pass, and something is going to happen in terms of the NCAA. They're going to provide that kind of baseline to where, yeah, you can do some name, image, and likeness deals, but I think it is going to kind of vary widely in terms of what each school is going to really push for and allow with their student athletes.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me. I think my conservative estimate right now would be, we don't have a ready to go national policy by July 2nd, but we will before the start of before like September 1. That maybe something ends up happening in mid or late July. You have two beautiful weeks of anarchy where almost nothing happens. If this matters, like one of the other kind of fun things we can kind of wrap up on this that I've been kind of tracking is how much of a recruiting advantage is this going to be, like capital R really? Especially given that there's kind of an assumption that whatever, first to the market benefits that you get is not going to last for several months afterwards. And right now, like, guess how many Division I recruits both New Mexico schools have signed, despite the fact that it's common knowledge that they're going to be able to profit from name, image, likeness July 1. Do you know off the top of your head how many at New Mexico or New Mexico State currently committed for the class of 2022?
I'll go 5 combined.
Less. As of right now, it is 1, a no-star recruit from Texas. So I'm willing to bet that the enormous recruiting advantages there are only going to play into the margins rather than being a clearly defined, like a defining advantage, sort of like what we saw with cost of attendance. Like, I'm old enough to remember when it was like, oh my gosh, Alabama is going to be able to drop $4,000 more. That's going to change the paradigm. Every single school has to be able to do this. So you're going to go drop to high school. And now almost everybody in FBS offers it. The vast majority of Division I offer it. Meaningfully comes up in recruiting very, very rarely. And there are differences in what schools are actually offering in cost of attendance. And in some sports, like outside of football and basketball, potentially significant ones, people typically don't make decisions just off that $3,000 one way or another. And I wouldn't be shocked if when the dust clears and we look back on this 3 years later, we realize that we spilled so much digital ink over something that at the end of the day, Alabama and Ohio State are going to sign most of the best players. And then your Penn States and Auburns and Georgias will sign the rest. And it will be just like it's always been since time immemorial. I could be wrong, but inertia in this business is a pretty powerful force.
Yeah, I don't think any recruit out there, whether you're a 5-star top, top 20, top 50 type recruit, or whether you're just kind of hoping for a scholarship from an FBS institution, I don't think anybody's saying, "Well, I'm definitely going to the state of Florida because they've got this law in the books. I don't think anybody's, you know, who knows these kids are really dialing down into that, because you know what, they're looking at playing time. They're looking at the, who, you know, what the depth chart situation is, I do think there is, has been some progress in terms of what the coaches are offering to a lot of these kids. Hey, we're going to help you with your branding. You're going to get a logo. I saw, I think it was Colorado, you know, for their new recruiting class, they had really a logo for each of their guys. You're going to see stuff like that happen. Pretty broadly, where, you know, a school's offering to help with your brand and that takes, yeah, you know, various, you know, iterations, you know, whether you're at USC or whether you're at the other USC across the country. I mean, there's going to be variations on that. And I think that is part of the recruiting pitch nowadays. It has been, frankly, for the last couple of years, no matter what ends up happening with NIL, you know, these programs have kind of pitch that to these kids, and kind of in addition to, you're going to get a good education, and in addition, we're going to send you on to the NFL, you're going to play in a college football playoff, etc. But what I think is going to be unique is I think you're going to see everything kind of, everybody worried about certain aspects. I know there's, they're going to get some booster to end up paying, you know, a guy $50,000. I don't think you're going to see those kind of one-off type of issues. I think it's ultimately going to be kind of quiet to start off with, and really kind of normalized as everybody just kind of feels their way through this thing. And obviously a lot of it's going to have to do with what ultimately ends up happening, whether we get injunctions and what schools are permitted to do, what a lot of these companies are really going to be able to offer in terms of that marketplace for these athletes. Maybe they're the ones that ultimately kind of put a stop to things and limit things for the athletes themselves. But I think
I was just thinking about that. You know what? Maybe we should try to get some athletes to sponsor this podcast. Maybe we should be an active participant in this marketplace.
Are you like, hey, Mr. Ohio State starting quarterback, do you want to just,
listen, it's been a blessing that this podcast has enjoyed some commercial success. You know, we're on episode 16 and we appreciate that this audience is growing. I've been very fortunate that Extra Points can support me after a year. I don't think I have Ohio State starting quarterback money. I think I could probably cobble together Georgetown starting quarterback money. Like, if you're in the Patriot League, Matt@extrapointsmb.com, right? We just have to find our niche, right? It worked for the solid verbal. Maybe, I don't want to say that we want to drop bags to encourage recruiting impropriety. I would never want to besmirch the sacred principles of amateurism in college athletics, no matter how funny that might be. But are there marketing opportunities for us? Maybe something to think about.
You know, it's too bad that that main offensive lineman who had that great,
oh my gosh,
a couple of years ago, I think he got drafted by a CFL club. But
Edmonton, you know, if he had been there, he was the first round draft pick.
He would have been perfect. You know, I think, I forget his actual name, but he was drafted out of, you know, Wisconsin Whitewater, the offensive lineman that went to the Broncos. Somebody like that, you know, could have been up our alley. But I think that might be where we kind of focus our efforts on.
Okay, so here's what I'm hearing. There's a lot of regulatory uncertainty. State lawmakers not always doing the best job about this. We'll continue to follow the ups and downs. Lord willing, we'll have some resolution this summer. When the dust settles, when we make sure that we're not going to get hauled off to college sports jail, we're going to try to sponsor some memes. Is that what I'm hearing here? Because, like, I mean, I'm absolutely okay setting aside some of the Extra Points marketing budget that would have gone to some consulting company or another podcast or radio, and setting that aside to sponsor somebody who might get the Heisman Trophy. Like, yeah, that works for me.
I think if we exclusively focus on Heisman candidates week by week of the college football season, in which that might not be an awful marketing strategy if you're out there and you're not just talking about this podcast. But I mean, it's just all going to be interesting because things are going to happen really quickly. And I think everybody's going to have to kind of deal with things on the fly. And pretty much everybody's going to be in that same boat, whether you're a player out there, whether you're an administrator, whether you're a coach. Are coaches going to have to get to the point where, in addition to carving out an hour for, you know, guys going to tutoring during the day, are they going to have to carve out an hour for them to kind of take care of their name, image, and likeness thing? That might be something that ends up popping up that we're all just going to have to deal with. It's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And whether we're what kind of movement we ultimately see come August, come September, is what everybody is really going to have to be focused on.
Yeah. I mean, Duquesne just like last week hired a player brands coach to work at their men's basketball team. It's my understanding it's not a full-time job. It's somebody that already is a creative services professional in Pittsburgh and is going to work with the rest of the athletic department. And if that just becomes part of the coaching organizational chart, like Adobo or somebody who handles social media, then that's just the world we live in. Anyway, I'm excited to continue to follow this. And I was kidding, but also maybe not kidding about potentially participating in this. What better way to track this marketplace than by launching a case study of our own, above board, of course. So anyway, if you're an athlete and you're a walking meme and you care about the finances of college athletics, I'm at Matt at ExtraPointsMB. If you are interested in sponsoring this, if I haven't scared your way over the last 20 minutes, this does reach a growing audience of college athletic fans and influencers. We are at sales at extrapointsmb.com. Brian, where can the internet find you?
As always on Twitter, Brian D. Fisher, BryanDFisher. Best place to follow me and all of my random musings on NIL and beyond.
Awesome. I'm at Matt Brown EP on Twitter, so you don't confuse me with the other Matt Browns. That Extra Points is at extrapointsmb.com. Everyone, thanks for listening. We got some fun and insightful guests scheduled later this month. I'll see you in your inboxes and in your cell phones. Catch up with you next week.